Where your party station joins the world of basketball. This is the Courtside Podcast with Jake and Aiden.
What's going on, guys, and welcome back to the Courtside Podcast. We missed you guys. We haven't talked about you guys in a long time, and now we're back. The NBA season has started. Yesterday, December 22nd, was the first games. We started with the Nets versus the Warriors and the Lakers versus the Clippers. We're going to start with the Nets versus the Warriors. Aiden, what are your takes on that game?
So, obviously, the Warriors played the Nets. That was the first game of the season. This game was, all I could say about it was disgusting. Obviously, there was a lot of rust. I've never seen Steph Curry play so bad in my life. He shot 7 for 21, 2 for 10 from 3. This was maybe one of the worst performances I've ever seen Steph Curry play, along with Andrew Wiggins, who shot 4 for 16. James Wiseman shot 7 for 13. This was just an overall terrible game. And they got blown out by 26, and it was kind of embarrassing. The Nets, obviously, they never played together, but Kevin Durant still shot 7 of 16. He had 22. Kyrie had 26. You have Caris LeVert scoring 20. Yep. This team looks like one of the best teams in the East, and it shows that the Warriors have no chance of making the playoffs. And I know it's the first game of the season, but I'm outright saying the Warriors will not make the playoffs this year.
And you know, with this big win with the Nets, and we finally start to see Kevin Durant healthy, Kyrie Irving looked healthy, put up 26 points in 25 minutes. This Nets team can be a contender for the NBA Finals. I know it's early to say, but the way that they looked yesterday was very impressive. Like Aiden said, Caris LeVert putting up 20 points. The Nets' depth in their bench was very, very, very good. Steve Nash, I think, did a great job with this team. And for the Warriors, I know it's going to be tough for you guys, but Steph Curry, I don't think you can put up those numbers if people are hyping you up like, oh, he's going to win the MVP or he's still the best point guard in the league. He's got to prove it. I know he's coming off an injury, but that was just a tough game to watch.
So let's go over this. I want to go into more depth because I'm obviously coming at Steph Curry very hard.
Yeah.
I know he broke his left hand. He was out. He's been out for a very long time. He's been training. Everybody's been talking about him. I don't care if you broke your fibula. If you're playing 30 minutes, you can't shoot 33% from the field, 7 of 21, when you need to score for your team to win. It obviously shows why the Warriors lost. If Steph Curry shot anywhere better than 33% from the field, 2 for 10 from 3, this can honestly be a close game. But Steph Curry was horrible. He was actually horrible. He put up 20 points, 10 assists. He had 3 turnovers. Like, this guy had one of the worst games I've ever seen from Steph Curry, which I know it's the beginning of the season.
He was missing everything, too.
I know it was the beginning of the season, and people are going to hate me for saying this, but I don't know. Like, I don't know if you could call him the best anymore. And I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but you're shooting 2 for 10 from 3 and you're the best 3-point shooter of all time. It's definitely a little, you take a step back and you go, what's wrong here?
Yeah, no, I'm going to agree with you on that. And like you said, the Warriors are going to struggle this year unless Steph Curry steps up. And that game was just horrible to watch. I mean, he was missing everything. He was launching long threes, which I know, like, people know of Steph Curry as, yeah, the guy who, like, can drain some deep, deep threes. But they were just horrible shots. And especially against a team like the Nets, they're very lengthy. They're tall. I don't think he should have done that. I think he should have brought it more inside, got his players more involved, and just, you know, play. He should have. I don't think he's fully into like his aspect that he was playing in before the injury, which I get. He's coming off an injury to his hand, which is his shooting hand, basically. I mean, guide hand. And but also other players that are coming off injuries face the same issue with having the lack of rehab due to the course that the off season started, and the off season was only like a couple months rather than the usual offseason, and then got right into the full swing of things. But also, he hasn't played, so that's why I'm just confused.
I get that. I get that.
Yeah.
And I understand, but you also have to think Kevin Durant tore his Achilles.
And look what he did.
And look what he did.
Yeah, you're right.
But here's the last thing I want to leave with, and I want to go on to the next game. The Warriors starting five, Steph Curry, Kelly Oubre Jr., James Wiseman, Eric Paschal, and Andrew Wiggins. That's the starting five if you didn't watch the game.
Yeah.
They shot a 23 from 70 for the field. And if you don't know what that is, that's a 32.8%. If your starting lineup is shooting 32% from the field, you are 100% losing the game. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, no, I'm going to agree with you on that. You can't shoot that poorly in the NBA. You're not going to win.
They suck.
Especially against a Nets team with one of the, arguably, the best score in NBA basketball. You can't do that. But there's also one thing I just want to put in there for the Nets fans. The real question is, how is the chemistry going to be with the Nets, you know, without bringing up Irving? Irving demanded a trade from Cleveland, was part of a toxic locker room environment with Boston before joining Brooklyn. My real question is, how is this going to shape the Nets? And if he, you know, Irving has tended to affect a locker room and affect the players on the court. If he's able to control himself and if he's able to get the guidance that he needs, I think this Nets team can go pretty far. But if he's not and he's still out of control, they're going to have some issues.
Here's what I want to say, and then I don't really want to talk about this anymore. Kyrie Irving is probably the weirdest NBA player maybe of all time besides Dennis Rodman. I've never seen somebody stage a court prior to game. If they're winning, and I know he's been in winning environments, obviously in Cleveland they won a ring. The Celtics have always been very good. If they are winning like this every game, I can't see this guy getting mad. I think it's going to come down to when it starts to get tense and when they start losing a slew of games and they're kind of blaming either Kevin or they're blaming Kyrie. I think that's when it's going to start to come out. But right now, I don't think this guy can complain. They just won by 26 against a dynasty 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's all I got to say. Yeah, you'll definitely hear more of Kyrie on this podcast.
Oh, of course.
I wanted to move on to the Lakers and Clippers game. So if you didn't watch, it was the late night game. Clippers pulled away with this one, 116 to 109. And all I have to say about this before you go on, Jake, is Pandemic P is officially gone. I'm sorry for anything I've ever said about this guy. Paul George played about 36 minutes.
He better play well.
Shot 13 of 18 from the field. That's 72%. And scored 33 points on the reigning champs. I can't say anything else. This guy dominated. I actually was watching the game. And I didn't see him miss a shot. So,
you know,
Pandemic P is gone. He is Paul George. He is PG-13, whatever you want to call
him.
He's back.
I'm not a big fan of the Clippers, but Paul George, yeah, like I like him. At parts, but what he showed me in the playoffs was not that good, and we take that back from this game.
I gotta forget
but
about that.
Also, the guy is expected to play well. He just signed a massive deal. He's getting paid big bucks. You need to play well. It can't be like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, he needs to play well every single game. This is normal, and this is what I want him to do. I want him to play like he did.
I didn't see anybody else play like that.
What?
He was the best player on the court yesterday.
Yeah, but I want him to play like he did when he was in Indiana facing up against LeBron and D. Wade.
Yes, but he has – you remember who he has on his team?
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard.
Correct.
That's not his job. That's Kawhi's job. His job is to
– So you're.
Put
I actually
know.
I'm
going to
disagree with you on that. I actually think that it's Paul George's job too.
No. Paul George's job is what he did when Kawhi is stinking up the joint with 10 shooting.
But
10
that's
of
the problem. No,
for
you can't stink
points.
Up the joint if you're making that much money. You gotta prove that you.
So Kawhi sucked yesterday, and I'm not even on the Lakers yet. I'm gonna go off on the Lakers.
Well, no,
because I'm a little surprised.
Kawhi 26 points. I wouldn't say it was that bad.
When you shoot 38% from the field, that's good.
No, it's not. I mean, it's not. Terrible. I wouldn't
he
say
shot
it's
one of
it's,
eight from three.
What?
He shot one of
eight.
Well,
no, that's
three.
That's bad. Yes.
Yeah, he played horrible for a Kawhi Leonard sighting. This was a horrible game.
Yeah.
when you look at it from the outside, if you didn't watch the game, yeah, he scored 26 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, average Kawhi game. But if you really look into it, he shot 12% from 3, 38% from the field. Obviously, he went 100% from the free throws. But I just didn't think this was a great game from him. And I got to give Paul George a lot of credit. I think if Paul George didn't play as well, they're losing this game. They started out the game up 20. I almost turned off my TV, and the Lakers progressively came back. But at the end, Paul George was just like, give me the ball. I'm not missing.
Do you think that – so now if we move our trend to the Los Angeles Lakers, do you think they're gassed in any way?
No, not at all. I actually think that they played horrible.
But do you think that's
I'm comparing them to the Warriors right now. You ready? LeBron, 7 of 17. Anthony Davis, 8 of 15. Yeah. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, only shooting 4 shots a game. That's not what a starting shooting guard does. Uh-huh. Schroeder, 5 of 15. And let's get to Marcus Gasol. You hyped up Marcus Gasol, and I'm not going to comment you, Jake. We can have a little discussion on this. He plays 12 minutes. He got 1 rebound, 1 assist, didn't shoot the ball once, and had 5 fouls.
Marcus Gasol.
I told you that Marcus Gasol was not going to work. I told you Marcus Gasol isn't going to be a good player.
All right. Let me give you my take. Marcus Gasol, when I was watching the game yesterday, Marcus Gasol like made me mad because he was getting bodied. So he was drawing – like they were drawing fouls on Marcus Gasol because I bet you Tyronn Lue said, hey, go right at Marcus Gasol, and that's probably what happened. I mean, Serge Ibaka was literally bodying him. I don't think – listen, I spoke highly of Marcus Gasol, and I got to take it back because he really just didn't show me what he's capable of doing. I think that the Lakers – need to go with a smaller core, and I think that Montrezl Harrell deserves that starting spot. I think if they can start small in the center position. I mean, I think Montrezl Harrell is 6'9", but the guy had 17 points, 10 rebounds. That is substantially more than Marcus Gasol. I know he played 32 minutes, but
doesn't matter. It's because Marcus Gasol had 5 fouls.
I still think that
you can't get into foul trouble after playing 12 minutes.
Do you agree with me on this? I think that the Lakers should 100% small with
Montrezl Harrell was a great signing. I also wouldn't root out Kyle Kuzma.
You know who also just did not really show me anything? It was Alex Caruso. And I'm a big Caruso fan because of what he's accomplished and what he's been through and like with the G League and now making to the NBA and was a starter in the finals. He really just was awful.
Okay, I watched this game. I know you did too. For anybody not watching, I didn't see Caruso go inside the 3-point line.
But that's
line.
The problem. Like, he's going to lose his position because we saw...
Well, what position? He's not playing. He played 16 minutes because it was a blowout.
Okay, yeah, but we saw Taylor Horton Tucker, who came in early. Frank Vogel's like, all right, this guy played well in the preseason. We're going to put him in. Played 10 minutes, all right? 10 minutes. Had 6 points. But I'm just saying... I think that Tucker could be taking those minutes from Caruso.
Maybe he could. I don't know. Wesley Matthews.
Well, what else happened to that? Yeah, I'm so confused on that one because wasn't he a starter with the Bucks?
Maybe not.
I think he was.
I never watched a Bucks game. I don't like Giannis, but I know who was it? It was Bledsoe started. Was George Hill on the team?
No, it was.
Oh no! Whatever. This guy was terrible. I didn't like any of the signings besides Harrell. Let's put it at that.
Okay.
And Schroeder, Schroeder had 14, but shot 5 from 15. Like first game. You know what? I'll be fine with Schroeder as well. Schroeder did have, he had 12 boards.
Yes.
Schroeder's a board monster. Yeah. He almost put up a triple double.
Yeah, he did.
Schroeder
play, it reminded me of playoff Rondo last year.
I've never that was probably the lowest key triple double I've ever seen.
Yeah, no.
They didn't talk about it once on the game. I'm so confused. Yeah. Wow. Okay. I like Schroeder. Obviously, I like Harrell, but Gasol and Matthews, that was some of the worst play I've ever seen. You can
And for the Clippers, you know, they gotta prove that. They can't blow a 3-1 lead in the playoffs, but also the addition of Serge Ibaka and Nicholas Batum, I thought were pretty good for the Clippers. Ibaka had 15 and 6. Batum had 3 and 6 with 28 minutes, but Batum's defense was very effective. He just, like, the way he closed out, and he has lengthy arms, and it really caused a problem at times for the Lakers when it came to shooting. That's why they shot pretty poorly, due to the fact that Batum was a great defender. That's my take on it.
Yeah. No, but obviously there's a slew of games on today. I would tell everybody to go watch. This is just the beginning. You'll hear about these teams throughout the season, and we will definitely be coming at you every couple of days with a podcast. But I just want to go on to some developing news in the NBA right now. The Rockets are currently working with the NBA office to review a video of James Harden at an exotic club. This causes the status of the opener, because if he was at a club, you know that is not COVID-friendly, and he hasn't been tested, so he would be affecting his teammates. So, Jake, I wanted to hear what you thought about this. And also adding on to this, do you remember James Harden was late to the NBA bubble?
You know,
that was because he had COVID-19 during the summer.
Listen, I don't know what James Harden doing. I really think that he's being a baby, saying, I don't want to play for this team, so I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And it's really showing that he does not care about anybody else. And it's irking me, because...
Jake, I think you got
no, he doesn't understand that we are in a global pandemic. Everybody's trying to get back to their job. They're trying to play the NBA. And he's seen at an exotic club. He couldn't play in preseason games because he was at a birthday party. And now he's seen in an exotic club. What is he doing?
I'm going to say this. And...
is this his way to show that he wants to get out? I'm just saying. I don't know.
I truly don't think it is. I think it has to do with just his lifestyle. It's been known for years that he's very into exotic clubs, no matter where it is, whether it's in Miami, Houston, New York. I don't like talking about others in a bad way, but I think I have to say that James Harden may have a problem where it's like a need. Obviously, he knows what's going on. It's obvious that there's a global pandemic. I think it's something that he needs in his life. And I think it's affecting him right now badly, because the NBA is pretty much saying you can't go to this. And I don't want to call it an addiction.
No.
Because going somewhere and enjoying yourself is not an addiction. But obviously, it's showing that this guy has a big enough problem where he can't stay out of the club.
This reminds me of Michael Jordan in a way, when Jordan was going to casinos during playoffs.
And I wanted to kind of bring that up. I've heard a lot, and I think it's kind of rude when people compare James Harden to the modern-day Dennis Rodman. I wouldn't compare him to that. Because Dennis Rodman,
he was just a completely different.
I think he was another terror. Yeah. Like, I don't know what James Harden's doing. There isn't a Last Dance where I can watch what he's doing. I think the Last Dance kind of opened up a lot of people to what Dennis Rodman did on a nightly basis. Like, he was blacking out every night, waking up, going to practice. I would be shocked if James Harden's doing that. I think he's just enjoying himself at the club.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying.
But I also think, Jake, I loved your reference, because I think if Michael Jordan was playing in 2020, there would be things out about him being at a casino during a global pandemic. Yeah.
I mean, people knew. I mean, if you haven't seen The Last Dance, they talked all about how Michael Jordan used to leave.
When he played the Knicks,
the hotel and he would go to the casino, and he wouldn't come back till like 4 a.m. when they had a game the next day.
Right now, there's a global pandemic. You are a professional athlete. It is a lot different than 1990. Everybody's got a camera.
Correct.
Everybody can record you. If you're seen in public, it is out there, especially if you're James Harden. I think a lot has changed, but I think there's a serious problem with James Harden. I think it's going to affect that he will not be traded. I don't think a single NBA team wants him for the
I was just
going to
bring that
brings.
Up. That's perfect that you said that, because now that he's done this, I don't know. I mean, if the NBA finds him guilty of it, right? These teams.
Well, they play tonight. They're gonna have to find it. The Rockets play tonight, so they will have to figure out if he's there or not by this morning.
Like the Sixers or who else?
Well, I also know the Nets backed out. I know the Heat backed out. So I think it's really just down to Denver, the Sixers, and
So Denver, Sixers, and Celtics. They're going to be like, all right, we want to play. We want to contend for a championship, but we can't do that if our best player is going out and breaking the NBA rules and he's not going to be able to play.
Here's the thing I want to say.
That's the only issue.
I don't want to be biased, but I'm saying it now. I love James Harden as a player. I think he's one of the best scorers 100%. Of all time. But I kind of want to say this. This isn't the first time Harden's been going to
I know,
the club.
But it's
the I think fact, he's been going to the club ever since he's been
but
in
it's
the NBA.
The fact that we are in a pandemic and Adam Silver got everybody together and said, hey, we're going to have a season. You're going to go to stadiums. There's not going to be fans. But we're letting you guys play because we want you guys to make money. We want you guys to see your family still with going to stadiums. We're not going to put you in a bubble. They had to sacrifice a lot of things. And for James Harden not to pay attention to any of that, I mean, I think that there's some NBA play. I think even the Rockets organization, some players are like, really? Really?
Here's my thing. I don't want to talk about it from that aspect. I want to talk about it from this. This isn't the first time Harden's been to the club. It's probably not going to be the last. I still think if he plays tonight, he will still drop 10.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if he was out in the club till 5 a.m. I think he will still drop 30 points and 10 rebounds. He will still be the best scorer in the NBA.
Yeah.
That's why I don't care that much. I think it matters now because there's a global pandemic.
Yes, yes. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You can't be bringing the virus into the facility.
Correct.
But if this guy is clean and he can play, he will average 30 points and 10 assists.
Yes.
That's just who he is.
Yeah.
Like Dennis Rodman, and I'm not comparing him to Dennis Rodman, but this guy was blacking out every day, would still come in, get 20 rebounds a game. If you can do your job, I don't care. I think the Rockets organization is picking that up. They've been doing it for years. They don't care if he's coming in and scoring 30, 40, 50 points a game. But right now, he can't be doing it because there's a global pandemic.
And it just looks
bad. And that's
bad.
The hardest part for
it
him.
It looks really bad.
And the team. It looks bad. Yeah. But I think they're going to move past this. I definitely think it's not going to be the first time. It's going to be a wild season.
It is.
Players have habits. Players have families. And sometimes habits get in the way. I think maybe if he is guilty of this, Harden will maybe realize, you know what, I need a play. I can't do this. And we'll take a break. But I just can't see Harden canceling out the club forever.
Yeah, and we don't want this to ruin Harden's career also.
Well, that's it for the podcast. Tweet us at @TheCourtsideP. If you have any questions or you want to ask us any questions, we'll answer them.
And guys, stay tuned. There's a couple games tonight. We're going to be watching LaMelo Ball's opener, Obi Toppin's opener, Russell Westbrook on the Wizards, and Cole Anthony on the Magic, guys. Also, the Bucks v. Celtics, but big game for us because we're big LaMelo Ball fans. We're going to be watching 7 p.m. Hornets versus Cavaliers. Thank you, guys. Hope you guys have a good holiday.
Oh,
Merry Christmas.
The outside
enjoy your
is
day.
Frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man.